Amen. It's good to see each of y'all this night. I'm humbled every time I have the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. I count it a great honor. And when Pastor called me on Monday to ask me to preach, I made a commitment that to the Lord when he called me, when I placed myself in his loving care, anytime anyone asked me to preach, my answer would just be yes, yes, ready or not, yes, yes. But it's good to see each of you this night. And as I'm looking around the auditorium sitting back there, I'm looking at faces of people that I'm going to see in heaven one day. What a comforting thought that was to see each of you, and the smiling faces, the faces of brothers and sisters in Christ, the same faces are going to fellowship in all eternity up in heaven. What a great thought that is. So good to see each of y'all tonight. I also wanted to let you know that the pastor did get to Spain safely. He was picked up from the airport by Nathan and Arantxa Staples, and immediately they went straight to Dunkin' Donuts. Imagine that. And from that point, I believe they took him to the train station, and there where Alberto was able to pick them up from the train station. But I started thinking about Nathan Staples, and when you remember when he was in our congregation and he had been ordained to preach, and he really wasn't settled on salvation, but he was in here one Sunday morning hearing the preaching of God's word, got under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God about his need for a Savior, and he fought off all pride, because I can only imagine being called to the mission field or at least keep trumping your works in order to hide behind a religious cloud. But he finally understood and he let go of himself that he was lost. And what a great testimony that was. He was lost. He wasn't going to mess around with it anymore. He went to the pastor's office. And our pastor, I love our pastor. And not just because I'm related to him or anything like that or married to his daughter. I love our pastor because he didn't tell him, well, Nathan, you're saved. You made a testimony. He says, no, search the scriptures. You go and you find all the verses you know about salvation and you read those and you say yes or no. And the answer was no, he wasn't. And he got it settled that day. And the pastor told him, he says, now I want you to join yourself next to Brother Jeff and y'all go knock doors. You hit the streets and you just try to win everybody you can win. I want you to be trained. If you're still called to be a missionary, go and do the work. And the first door, I kid you not, the first door that we knocked on, we pulled in a neighborhood and we knocked on a door and a lady comes to the door. And if you'll know her name, you'll know it as I tell you, her name was Portia Harris. You remember her that was here in our company for a while before she moved to South Carolina. But that was the first door, and her grandson, Jarrell, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And she got faithful. She followed the Lord in believer's baptism. It changed her life. On her one-year anniversary, we were in California at a spiritual leadership conference, she called. She goes, you know who this is? And of course, I had her ID on the phone. We got those smartphones. I know who's calling me. It's Miss Portia. Good to hear you. Good to hear from you. She says, I just want you to remember, 1 year ago today, you knocked on my door, and that's when I found the Lord, and I'm not the same person that I once was. Glory be to God. And I say that story just to tell you this. We have Brother Gerald Myers home on furlough from South Africa, and he's been burdened about wanting to go out soul winning, and we go out yesterday. And lo and behold, the first door that we knock on, a young man by the name of Markel Larry comes to the door, lost as lost could be. And after some time dealing with him, he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. So we're going to call some missionaries to come home for a little while so we can go out, knock on the door, lead somebody to Christ. But what a great thing. Hopefully, and I need your prayers on this, that we can follow up with Markel on Saturday, and that his dad will allow us to pick him up and bring him to church. We want to try to win the dad, too. So y'all just be in prayer of that. And maybe in your private time, just pray for that situation. I want to talk tonight, or I want to preach it tonight. The Lord has led me in this direction, is to talk about the subject of mercy. What a great subject to talk about. We understand that that's not the major or the main attribute of our God in heaven. The main attribute of our God in heaven is holy, holy, holy. They are flying around right now with six wings around him, crying out those words, holy, 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 holy is the Lord our God. And the amazing thing about the word mercy, and we know that that's not getting what you deserve, but the amazing thing about mercy is that because he is holy and he does require justice and he does require perfection, and he does require all these things for us to get to heaven, he's still merciful to us by sending his son who covers us and gives us that free gift. And so mercy is an amazing thing. But let me warn you, before we get into the text, it's an obscure verse that I got this subject on. You know how sometimes when you're reading through your Bible and you see something that has been there all all the time, since it was translated into English in 1611, translated in the English language, it's been there all the time, but all of a sudden the Lord shows that to you, and that's kind of what's happening tonight. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In chapter 6, this is Paul the Apostle talking about our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and that we are bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 6, it says here in verse 19, it says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we belong to God, but the same theme is on the Apostle Paul's heart. And if you look over in chapter 7, beginning in verse 23, he says it again. You are bought with the price. Be ye not the servants of men. We're to serve our Father in heaven. It says, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. And now this is the obscure verse that I got, the passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at tonight. But it says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. And look at these next words. As one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So Paul the Apostle realized that he had obtained mercy from God. Obtained mercy, not getting what he deserved, for the purpose of faithfulness. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, obtaining mercy from God for us to be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence tonight. We thank you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for your holiness. And Lord, I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm asking tonight that you would fill me with the Spirit of God. Father, I need you to go before me. Lord, what a wonderful service we've had thus far with the singing. And I ask that you would anoint the preaching. Lord, please speak to our hearts and help me, Father, to be sensitive to your leading. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul the Apostle obtained mercy of the Lord, and he was rather excited about this mercy that he obtained for the Lord. He had obtained this mercy to be faithful. If you can, start turning your Bible over to Acts chapter 22. And while you do that, I'm going to read Galatians 1:13. Some of the testimony of the Apostle Paul, why he was so thankful for this mercy that he had obtained from the Lord. In Galatians 1:13 and 14, it says, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So we see by Paul's own testimony that he wasted the church of God, that he had no respect for Christianity. Matter of fact, he was one of the greatest persecutors of Christianity. And so you look at his own testimony as he's brought before King Agrippa to give his testimony in Acts chapter 22. This is Paul the Apostle giving his testimony beginning in verse 3. He says, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. As ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all these estate of elders, from whom also I received the letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. So he was a persecutor of the church, one that basically deserved to be totally done away with when the Lord got a hold of him, because he persecuted his church, he persecuted his people, but God didn't do that. And God doesn't do that. God is a merciful God, and Paul obtained mercy of God on the road to Damascus when the light shone, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he bowed on his face because the light being so bright, and he called him Lord. He knew exactly who he was. Lord, Lord. He called him Lord, And Jesus says, why persecutest me? Why are you kicking against the pricks? And we know that the Apostle Paul there trusted Christ as his personal Savior, had a face-to-face confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed him completely. It changed everything about him, just as if you're in this assembly tonight and you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has changed you completely, and you're not the same person. And as once you were the enemy of God, now you're the friend of God, and that's because of God's mercy. And again, as I said, that word mercy is not getting what we deserve. It's basically withholding judgment or withholding the penalty. But we can't talk about mercy without talking about grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God gives it to us freely. Praise the Lord. He gives us grace and gives us mercy. Praise the Lord. But Paul had a big reason to obtaining this mercy obtained this mercy of the Lord to now be faithful to the Lord. And so what happened is it changed his life completely. Once he was a persecutor of the things of God, now he was a proclaimer of God's word, a proclaimer of God's grace, God's wonderful truths, from a persecutor to a proclaimer, one now that wanted to see everyone saved, wanted to see Jew and Gentile and everyone come to know the Lord come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It also changed his direction. You know the direction that Paul the Apostle was headed? He was headed for the lake of fire. That was his direction, just as it was our direction. But it changed his direction. And when it changed his direction, it changed it from the lake of fire to now having a mansion in heaven. And I thought for a second there he was on his way to having a mansion in heaven, but then I started thinking even more that no, Paul the Apostle is in a mansion in heaven right now that God had prepared for him, and he's there right now in the presence of God because of God's mercy. So it changed his direction completely. It also changed his faithfulness. And as the pastor preached a couple of weeks ago about being faithful either to unrighteousness or being the servant of unrighteousness found in Romans chapter 6 or being the servant to righteousness, it changed his faithfulness. Now he was faithful to righteousness, or he was a servant to righteousness now, not to unrighteousness. And Paul the Apostle was exceedingly thankful that he had obtained this mercy to now be faithful to God. And we see here that our God is a merciful God. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Wonderful passage of scripture here. In Psalm 89, the word of God says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, because great is his mercies. As Psalm 36 tells us, in each one of those verses, it endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. And I'm thankful tonight for God's mercy. And I hope that you are thankful for his mercy also. God's mercy is kind of like the mother who treated her young son Timothy in a certain way. And this says she didn't like the idea of him walking to school alone. She just terrified her. But he was too grown up to be seen with his mother. She did her best to stay calm by quoting Psalm 23 every morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of my life. And one day asked a neighbor for her and her daughter to walk with Timmy kind of far back where he couldn't notice them or see them. And they followed him for several days. And finally, Timmy had a friend there that was walking with him, and he said, do you notice that there's two people following you every day? He says, oh, don't worry about that. What do you mean don't worry about that? They're following you. He says, no, we got this covered. Their names are Shirley Goodnest and her daughter Marcy. Okay? And my mom has been praying for these folks and said that they would be following me all the days of my life, so just get used to it. Okay? And that's kind of like God's mercy for us, because his goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us. And if we get a hold of that truth and fall in love with God's mercy, it would do us well to understand about that mercy. It also in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says this, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." Wow. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new," or excuse me, "because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Our God is faithful to us. His mercy is new every morning, and we should glory in that. And that should cause us to be faithful to him, because his mercy does endure forever. And God's way of salvation is also, it's a cause of his mercy. And we know Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." And I'm thankful for the saving grace of God. I'm thankful for his mercy where we don't get what we deserve. Because if you understand, and I know you do, every one of us in this room deserve the lake of fire. Every one of us deserve not even be called the friend of God, not even to be called a Christian. But because of Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary and enduring and taking the punishment that you and I owed, we can have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the rest of that passage of Scripture says this. It says, "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And praise God this evening for the saving grace and the saving mercy that we have in Jesus Christ. And I am a gospel preacher up here, so you're going to hear me say that a lot about salvation, because I'm all about preaching the salvation of God, because we have to understand that, have to get that down, that salvation is by grace through faith, that it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't deserve salvation, we can't earn salvation, we have salvation freely by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's some criteria to that, which means you must agree with God that you're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Each one of us, because our sinful condition before God has fallen short of his glory. Each one of us. The Bible says, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." We are going to die one day because of sin, because of what Adam and Eve did in that garden. When they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they partook, even after Satan had cast doubt on God's word and told them that they shall not surely die, but they'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. They took the fruit and they did die. They died spiritually, then they died physically. And when they died spiritually, they saw themselves as naked, tried to sew some fig leaves together, and God said, "No, sir, no, sir, that's not going to work. You're not going to cover yourself in your own works, your own righteousness. There has to be shed blood." And he killed an animal, and he clothed them with the clothes of that animal from head to toe, clothed them in his righteousness. And it was a picture of our Savior to come. And I'm thankful for that. And if you have not been born again, because that is required for you to go to heaven. You've been born of your mom one time. And you can go to the time and the place where you've been born. You can. It's either probably in a house like Brother Borff, or in a hospital like myself. But you've been born one time of your mama. And if you've only been born once, you die twice. You die physically and spiritually. There has to be a time where you come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you become born again spiritually by taking him as your personal Savior. Calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Ooh, no, 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 no. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we hear the gospel presented here all the time, and praise the Lord for that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, never go to sleep, spiritually speaking, when you hear the gospel presented, whether it be on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Never get tired of the message. The song that says, I love to tell it to them that know it best, receive it. Like, I don't know the words of that song right now off of hand, but telling that precious gospel. But we've obtained mercy. And let me get back to the message. I'll never get finished. It says here, we've obtained mercy to praise God. We've obtained mercy to be faithful to our God. Micah 6:8 says this, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So the first point that I have here is that we have obtained mercy to be faithful to our God. We've obtained mercy to be faithful to the one true God, the creator of all heaven and earth, for us to be faithful to Him. And the first way that we can be faithful to Him is in our praise. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. In our praise, we can be faithful to God. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. It says, Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the gate, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Look at verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The Word of God tells us here that we're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Okay, why is praise a sacrifice? Well, because God gives us everything that we have. This earth is the Lord's, and all that is in this earth is the Lord's. He gives us power to get wealth. He gives us strength to live day by day. He gives us food to put on our plates that we can sustain our bodies. And He also gives us a free will. He doesn't make any of us trust Him as personal Savior. He doesn't make any of us serve Him. And He doesn't make any of us praise Him. And when we do, that's the offer of sacrifice of our praise to our God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you, we praise you. And that's something that we ought to do often and frequently, is to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, with thanksgiving, with our lips. And folks, we have much to be thankful for. Much to be thankful for. And I've listed some of the things here, if you're curious, of some of the things that we have to be thankful for. And it's getting close to Thanksgiving, so what a great time to share this. We have to be thankful that I'm called a child of the King. Woo! A child of the King. You understand that? A child of the King, adopted into the family of God. A child of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. His children. That's big time right there. That is big time to be His child. Okay, they quoted the verse tonight. It says in Colossians 3:16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And just take a second here and realize I'm not going to sing to you right now. Okay, I'm not. You're kind of sad about that, aren't you, Brother Tony? Maybe next time. I know that the Dorminies and the Browns are thankful for that. But I am going to admonish you in song. But I'm going to read the song. But it's a song that spoke to my heart this morning as I'm preparing for this message. And I want you to listen to this song. We're a child of the King, but we're not worthy of God's grace. We're not worthy of God's mercy. And this song kind of sums it up to us. And you'll recognize it when I start reading it. It says, When I think of all my faults and failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled at the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy that I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne, it says I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees His nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. It goes on to say, even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken heart, a broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed because I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. What a song. I stand redeemed. And you can be thankful tonight that you're a child of the King. Redeemed and a child of the King. That kind of goes together. Redeemed, child of the King. Well, no, okay, let me not start that. Okay, you can also be excited and be thankful that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can go around telling everybody, my name's in the book, my name's in the book. Don't do that, okay? But your name is in the book if you know Christ as your personal Savior. Also, that your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, that you're accepted and beloved, that you're called the Son of God, are the sons of God, are the daughters of God. And there's so much to thank God for. And when we look at that, we can never run out of things to praise Him for on a daily basis. And that's just talking about salvation part of it. Think about the blood-bought, bloodshed for, the blood-purchased church that we attend every Wednesday, every Sunday, every time there's a special meeting. We have a special place here, folks. And it's not the building. It's the faces. It's the people. It's the redeemed. A special place here. This is not around our country. This is not a common thing here. To have a man of God that will stand in this pulpit and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, without apology to man. Seeking to please the Lord and seeking to win you to Jesus. Our pastor will not try to win you to himself. He's not going to try to bend over backwards to befriend you that now you're following him and worshiping him and putting him up on his pedestal. No, he's pointing you to the Savior because he is a wise pastor that understands that he will pass off the scene, but Jesus won't. And if your loyalty is to the Lord Jesus Christ, then praise the Lord. That's where it should be, not to man, not the servant of men, because you've been bought with a price. So that's a wonderful thing that we can praise our Savior. We can also praise Him for each other. Praise our Savior for each other, because we edify one another, we encourage one another. And I'm going to take the time to say, Brother Moore, you being here tonight is encouragement to me. This is Richard Moore, for you that don't know. And about, 3 months ago, he got his salvation settled once and for all. He saw that in the Word of God, he trusted the Word of God, got settled, started getting faithful to church. And this is one of his first Wednesday nights to be here in our church. And I'm so thankful for him being here tonight. Amen. And I know that won't embarrass him because he's redeemed. Child of the King, redeemed. I like how it sounds. And so I'm thankful that you're here tonight. That's an encouragement to me, encouragement to everybody that sees you here tonight. And we're praying for you, brother. God's going to do amazing things with you. You just stay submitted to His will. In each of you also, stay submitted to His will. He's going to do amazing things with you. With you. I'm from Texas. Forgive me, okay? All right, offer the sacrifice of praise. Also, we can be faithful to the one true God. We've obtained mercy to be faithful to God, okay? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, we had a dear brother in Christ preach a message not too long ago about this rascal in Genesis chapter 19 by the name of Lot, who was a missionary that was an unfaithful missionary, a missionary that was not doing his job in Sodom and Gomorrah. As he went there, God was, because of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, was going to cast judgment on them. And we know that Abraham stood before God and said, if there be 50 righteous, got it all the way down to 10 righteous, will you not destroy the city? And yea, for 10 righteous I will not. And we know that there wasn't even 10 righteous because Lot was not doing his job. Lot was not being a good testimony. He was being a sorry testimony. Outwardly, he was being a terrible testimony. So much the more when we look in verse 14, he tells his sons-in-laws that judgment is coming. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, I still can't understand that one. While he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon his hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou, and all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto him, or said unto them, not so, my Lord. He found mercy in the sight of God. Paul the apostle obtained mercy to be faithful. He obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Lot here obtained mercy of the Lord not to be faithful. He didn't obey what the angels would tell him. There's destruction come. He lingered in the city. They said, get you up to the mountain. Oh, Lord's not so. I got a better plan. I got a better idea. I'm going to do it my own way. Even though you're merciful to me, thank you for that mercy. But I'm going to do it my own way. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? When you get born again and you trust Christ as personal Savior, you become a blood-bought Christian. And now you have a responsibility because of that mercy that you receive because of the grace of God, now that you're to be an obedient blood-bought Christian. You're to be a good family member, not a bad family member. Okay, that is our responsibility. And Lot here didn't get a hold of that. And each one of us, in some point of our life, we're a different Christian grows in our life, and I understand that. But we're still all growing in grace. And we all have decisions that we can make to obey God and the things in our life where we haven't surrendered yet. Each one of us have places that we can obey God where we haven't let go of something yet. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. I'm not going to sit here and start naming off things. Is there an area in your life that you know that the Lord has been dealing with you, but you just have not totally surrendered it yet? You've been blood-bought. You've obtained God's mercy to be faithful, so start being faithful. Okay, also, the nation of Israel. They received mercy to be delivered out of slavery, out of bondage of the nation of Egypt, who had them slaves. They crossed the Red Sea, and if you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, this is the command that God gave them. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Okay, so, and he says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Because he delivered them out of the land of Egypt. He delivered them out of captivity. And if you'll turn over to Exodus chapter 32, these had obtained mercy, but they were not being faithful to our God. Genesis chapter 32, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, and in your sons, and in your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received them in their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be our gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." That word Lord there is Jehovah. And they rose up on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought pieces of peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that's what they did after they were delivered, after they obtained God's mercy to take them out of captivity. And God said, Don't make any other gods before thee. They went right back to it. They went to the place where they made a golden calf, and they bowed down before it. They called it Jehovah, and they were going to have feast unto that golden calf. And they were not being faithful to God. And we've obtained mercy, folks, that we can be faithful to our God. Make sure that you don't put any other gods before our God. Okay, and that means little g's. That means, and Pastor talked about it, I believe, last Wednesday, whether it be the football, all that stuff, the word fan, me and Brother Myers are talking about that. You know what fan is short for? Fanatic. Are you a fanatic for your team? You're a fanatic? Be a fanatic for Jesus. Amen. Don't be a fanatic for football. Now, don't get me wrong, I love playing football. Playing, watching, doing, running, whatever. I love football, but don't let that be your God. And whatever it is, lady, if it's shopping or shoes or purses, whatever it is, don't let that be your God either, okay? You put God first and be faithful to your God. Also, the next point I want to look at is he's given us mercy to be faithful, to be merciful, okay? He's given us mercy that we can be faithful to being merciful, merciful people. And over here in Luke 6:36, it says this, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." And Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be merciful to each other. Okay, Colossians tells us, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave you, so also do ye, and above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of peace. So it's our responsibility to be merciful to one another, understanding that I don't deserve your mercy, and you don't deserve my mercy. And if that were so, then the word mercy wouldn't even be there. Okay? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's justice. Okay? But we're talking about mercy here, and we should be merciful to one another. Because, folks, we're all wrapped in flesh. And this flesh is decaying, this flesh is wicked, this flesh is sinful, and this flesh will sometimes cause us to irritate people and do things that are not kind to folks. And I'm not sitting here giving us a license to cut each other off in the parking lot and be mean to each other. I'm not giving that kind of license right now, but I'm saying that you need to show mercy to one another. We need to show mercy to one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, hath forgiven us. You've obtained mercy because you've been forgiven. Now start practicing. Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let his mind be in you. And what is his mind when he was hanging on the cross? What was his mind when he could have thought it to destroy these people that had just plucked out his beard and hit him across the face for your sins and mine and whipped him on the back for your sins and mine and was rolling dice or casting lots for his garments and putting that crown of thorns on him? And as he pushed up on that nail to get breath, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let us have a forgiving heart. Let us have a forgiving spirit about us, full of mercy, because our God is full of mercy. Being faithful, we've obtained mercy to be faithful, to be merciful. Also, be merciful to those that are astray, whether it be your children, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be your friends. Let us be a merciful people to those around us that we want to win to the Lord. The lost are those that are astray. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We need to be merciful to those that are around us. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Okay, you have someone that's going astray. You have someone that is lost. You show them mercy. Show them mercy. Do not sit there and try to browbeat somebody. Give them mercy. The Bible tells us to preach the truth in love. We should show them mercy. Now, I'm not condoning sin, and I'm not saying get next to sin and fellowship with sin. No, I'm saying show some mercy. The Bible tells mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity shall be purged. Okay, so have patience with people. Have patience with folks. Give them room to grow. And folks, the Holy Spirit is God. And you or I are not God. We are not the Holy Spirit. And we ought not sit there and tell people how they ought to behave, ought to act. Now, I'm not telling we shouldn't reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we need to give some people some space to grow. And if our church is growing as it ought to be growing, we're going to have people sitting in these pews that aren't going to be fully matured or even to a point where they're now super Christians, where they know exactly how to dress, how to walk, how to talk, how to do the things that we've been taught over a time of getting our nose in the book and finding out God's will for our life. We need to be patient with people and not trying to be the Holy Spirit to people. And let them grow in grace. And let them have a time where they can mature in the Lord. Down in Texas, I was able to, had the fortune to win a dear lady to the Lord by the name of Manuela Lopez. She trusted Christ as Savior and she wanted to start going soul winning. She had a burden now for the loss. And I had someone, I think, tell my wife, somebody needs to tell Brother Jeff that she know when she comes out here, she don't need to be wearing pants when she comes out here. Why hasn't he addressed that and told that to her yet? Bless her pumpkin heart. Bless her pumpkin heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Word of God says it. When a person is truly saved and truly filled with the Spirit of God, they'll be filled with the Spirit of God to obey the Word of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God for service and for testimony. And when you see it, that's what pleases the God that showed you mercy, the God that gave you grace, then you'll be convicted by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God, and then you're not going to be Brother Jeff convicted, you're going to be Holy Spirit convicted. And that's what lasts. That's what makes the changes. Let us be patient with folks. And the folks that are still growing, we're going to be patient with you. We're going to encourage you. We are. And y'all encourage me because I'm still growing too. And the oldest, longest saved Christian in here is still growing also. We're going to encourage you also. We're going to edify one another. How about that? That sounds good. Let's edify one another. Let's help each other grow. But by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So let us be a people full of mercy and truth. And I understand sometimes it can get irritating with people we love. I understand that where they just don't get it. Why are you not getting it? I have a 6-year-old redhead that does not like to listen. Why are you not getting it? But guess what? By mercy and truth, iniquity is going to be purged. And by other things too. Oh, praise the Lord. Bless his heart. But he received mercy today. I can't tell you the details, but he received mercy today. He got in trouble. He got the Board of Education on the seat of correction. No, other way around. But nonetheless, he got mercy today. He did. And he earned it. He did earn. No, you don't earn mercy, but he got mercy anyway. I won't go into the details of that. Okay, so let's move on or we'll never get finished. Okay, so here's one that I don't want to talk about, but I'm going to just brush over it quickly because the Lord did lay this on my heart. Okay, we're to be merciful to the poor. Okay? That's hard to do in our society right now. I don't know the statistics of the people on welfare right now. Okay, there's a lot of folks on welfare, and by the grace of God, you and I too would be on welfare. So the Bible tells us, and the verse, if you want to look it up, is actually Proverbs 21:13. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. Proverbs 21:13, it says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Make sure in your heart of hearts that you're not hardening yourself to people that are without, people that are poor. And I know there are people that will take advantage of us, or you or me, but that's okay. We're going to show them mercy, and don't stop your ears at the cry of the poor. And I know that's probably not a popular thing to talk about right now because we have been hardened in this country because of the handout nation that we live in. And also from that guy in Texas who I gave a taco under the overpass, and he stared at me with the look of the devil, and he slammed that taco right down on the ground and just kept staring at me. I said, okay, I'm a saved Christian. I'm not going to get out and do anything to this guy. I'm just going to drive on. My flesh wanted to get out and choke the guy. What are you doing? Eat the taco. You're hungry? Let me feed you. That's not the right thing to do as a Christian. Come on. But I just drove and, man, have mercy on this guy. If you're hungry, eat the taco, man. You know, maybe he'll get hungry enough to pick it up later. But anyway, I'm saying that hardens your heart to the things of being kind to the poor, but we still must do it in our church. I'm thankful how our church is set up with helping out, because we do. We have a heart for helping people out, but they must fill out a form. And also they must meet with either myself, Brother Brown, or Brother Bryant, Brother Wally, for counseling, that we can try to win them to the Lord if they're not. I love how our church does that for our protection, for our testimony, and we're actually able to get the gospel as people come here. And we give them vouchers. We don't give them any cash, so they can't go and buy, you know, the things that would harm their bodies. And let us not turn a deaf ear to the poor. Okay, also let's go to the next one, and I have to move on. Mercy to be faithful to our family. Mercy, we have obtained mercy to be faithful to our family. God has three institutions that he set up. He set up the family back in the Garden of Eden. He gave Adam a wife. Praise God for that. I believe we have one less rib than y'all do. Because he took Adam's rib and made a woman to be a helpmeet to him. Praise the Lord for that. That's one of his institutions. Another institution is government. And the other institution is the church. Those are the three institutions that God has instituted. Profound right there, isn't it? Okay, what are the three things under most attack in our country right now? The family, government, and the church. Under attack like you would not believe. Well, you would believe because you're living with me right now. We're under attack right now. Okay, and with that being said, we have obtained mercy to be faithful to our families. Husbands, you have a responsibility to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, how are you doing with that? How are you loving your wife? That's just not with words. That's with actions, a sacrificial type of love. How are you doing with that? Are you loving your wife as you ought to love your wife? Have you been around her so much that you're not loving her as you once loved her? How are you doing with that? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to give you some tips today to help you love your wife. It also says, dwell with them according to knowledge, as unto the weaker vessel. Let me read the verse because I do not want to misquote this. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. But it talks about dwelling them with them according to knowledge. Okay, you want to know your wife? Number one, you got to be a good listener. Okay, men, don't tune me out here. We're talking about you not tuning me out by listening, okay? So listen right now. Be a good listener. It will help you in your marriage. Okay, it will help me in my marriage to be a good listener. Number two, don't always try to fix it. Who's with me on that one? Come on. Come on, guys. Do you not always try to fix it? She doesn't want you to fix it. Unless she asks you, I can't unscrew this or do this. She wants you to listen and to understand that she doesn't understand, that you need to understand, that she doesn't understand, that you have to understand, that she doesn't understand. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, neither do I. But you need to listen and try to figure that out, okay? And listen, be a good listener, okay? And don't jump to conclusions, okay? If she comes in with a sour face or whatever, don't jump to a conclusion. You know, the baby may have spit up or something may have happened. Don't jump to conclusions. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't jump to conclusions. And also give intelligent conversation, guys. It says that the woman, that our wives speak way more words than we do because we don't listen and they have to repeat themselves. This will help you in your marriage if you'll just listen. Don't try to fix it. I forget the other one now. Sorry. What was the other one? Don't jump to conclusions. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now to the wives. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. How's that working out for you? I'm not talking about the husband. I'm talking about the Lord. How's that working out for you? You submitting yourself to the Lord. How's that working out for you? Have you given your will, your emotions, everything that you have to the Lord and submitted yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God? Submitted yourself to the Lord of your salvation? Have you submitted yourself to the Lord? How's that working out for you? Because if you haven't, you need to do that. Because there's no way that you can put the cart before the horse. You cannot submit to your husband until you put the Lord first. And you submit to the Lord first, and then you'll find it easy to follow that unperfect man that God has blessed you with.
Amen.
Amen? So submit to the Lord, ladies, and then submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And there's a picture there of how you submit to your husband, of how you are actually submitting to the Lord. There's a picture there. And so, just something to chew on, something to think about. So, let's move on. Before we do, remember this, ladies, that you are the mood setter in the house, okay? And you also are our cheerleaders, and we need you. We need you to cheer us on, because we understand. Understand how imperfect we are, and how short we fall, and how sorry we are. We understand that. I need you to just cheer us on. Because we know about ourselves. And any list you have, we can add to it. My wife can add to it. We understand about that. So be the cheerleader that God has called you to be for your husband. He needs you. Children, honor your mom and dad. Don't disrespect them. And the kids are in here this morning, or this afternoon, this evening. Okay, I'll get it. The kids are in here. Don't disrespect your parents. They love you. They care for you. They're working like everything that you don't drift away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're working like everything that you get a hold of the truths that they're trying to pass on to you. And respect them. Listen to them. They care for you. Even if they can be overbearing at times, because we can be. Just have patience with your parents. Listen to them and seek to follow their faith. Look past their imperfections because you've obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful to your parents, to be faithful to them. Get a hold of that truth because your parents love you more than anybody on this planet do. More than any person that comes into your life, your parents love you. And it's an unconditional love. Get a hold of that, children, kids, teenagers, young adults, that your parents love you and respect them. Respect that love that they have for you and honor them. And parents, you have a responsibility too. Have a responsibility to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The little girl said to her teacher, "Miss Hayes, I don't want to alarm you, but my dad said if I bring home any more bad grades, somebody's getting a spanking." I think Miss Hayes was a little nervous there. But parents, you have a responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's in the discipline of the Lord, okay? To discipline them, to nurture them, to teach them the things of God. Establish that family altar. We're a busy people, and that's going to take some consistency. You're going to have to settle it in your heart, settle it, you and your wife, make a covenant with one another, and you stay faithful to doing that family altar, that devotion with your family. It'll make all the difference in the world. Be faithful in that. You've obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful to that. Okay, be not weary. This is my life's verse right now. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Okay, let us be doing well and not weary. And I am out of time, but I'm going to take an extra couple of minutes just to talk about the last point here. But this is mercy to be faithful in serving our God. Christians, we have a responsibility to serve the God that saved us, a responsibility to get out the gospel. That is one of our main reasons that God saved us for. And there's basically two reasons He saved us. He saved us for us to bring pleasure to Him, for His honor and for His glory. And He saved us to be a testimony, to be a witness. He could have chose rocks to cry out. He could have chose dreams, visions. He chose none of that foolishness. He chose our foolishness by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose born-again sinners, saved sinners, to tell other sinners how to become born again, how to be saved. So be faithful to that service to God of getting out the gospel. Last Thursday, I saw the most people out on Thursday night visitation that I've seen in months. And I suspect it was because of the visitation, or because of the revival services we had, and Pastor had just preached about it that Sunday night. Or maybe it was that Wednesday night. I can't remember. But I saw all the people there, and that rejoiced my heart. And I do understand that you can't make it sometimes to the Thursday meeting, and you do go out at other times. I understand all that. But get a burden to want to see the lost saved, and keep some tracks on you where you can pass those out. I've given my wife a challenge, at least one track every day to somebody. Her husband has given her that challenge. And she wants to bring honor to me. She wants to submit to me. So I've given her that challenge. That helps keep her accountable. And she's been excited about that. She'll tell me of the lady at the store that she handed the tract to. We have these precious Thanksgiving ones where she can just say, "Happy Thanksgiving." And tell about the Lord also. There's a Bible tract in there. So have some tracts in your purses, ladies, because there's been times where the Holy Spirit has led you and you've had the boldness of God, but all of a sudden you realize, "Oh, man, I don't have any tracks. I don't have any way to tell them other than tapping them on the shoulder or whatnot." Or like me and Brother Ashley, I chased a guy down the street one time and caught up to him. I can't tell you all my soul-winning stories right now, but caught up to the guy. His name was Alex. He ended up, was a seven-day Adventist, ended up trusting Christ as Savior. His mom told us we can't come pick him up. "Y'all shouldn't have talked to my son." "Well, that's all right, man. We just know that he's saved, and he knows that he's saved, even though we can't pick him up. That's fine. No problem." But nonetheless, be faithful to serving your God. And just to close with the story of John Mark. John Mark had departed from Paul. This is in Acts 13:13. It says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Okay, now this brought a contention in Acts chapter 15 between Paul and Barnabas. because Paul didn't want to take Barnabas with him. Barnabas being that John Mark was Barnabas' nephew, wanted to take him to the journey. And Paul said he didn't think it was a good thing for that to happen. And I have no doubt that Proverbs 25:19 plays a part in Paul's decision not to want John Mark to go with him. And that verse says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And I'm not siding here with the different sides, but he did not have any confidence in John Mark because he left them when they were in Pamphylia. He left them. He did not return to them. And so what happened is Paul did not want him coming on that journey. But in 2 Timothy, toward the end of the Apostle Paul's earthly ministry, he wrote that Demas had forsaken me, loving this present world, and departed from Thessalonica and Sisera to Galatia and Titus and told you I went to school in Texas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Demalia. I get it. I can't spell either if you were wondering. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So John Mark had proven himself. He had proven that he had obtained mercy to be faithful, and he built a testimony for himself where Paul saw that he was profitable now for the ministry. And he said, bring John Mark with you. And the God in heaven allowed him to write the second book of the New Testament. Wow. Wow. He had a testimony of serving our God because he had obtained mercy. So the question tonight is, since you have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful, what area do you need to be more faithful to our God? Something to consider. We're going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. I want to thank each of you for allowing me to preach to you tonight. I hope that it was a blessing to you. And I love each one of y'all.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this night. We thank you for your love, your mercy. Oh, what wonderful mercy, Father. We don't deserve any of it, but you love us. Lord, that humbles us. And help us, Lord, to walk justly. Help us to walk in the way that we love your mercy. And help us to walk with you humbly, Father. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. I thank you for this church. I pray that you protect us as we go our way. I pray that you would burden us with the lost. That you'd help us to be a gospel witness. That you'd help us to be faithful to our families. That you'd help us to be faithful to you. And Lord, please do a mighty work in our church, in our midst. And we're still asking for revival. Lord, help us to be revived to do the things that would be pleasing to you. That is our desire tonight. Help us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.